Okay, good morning, Gavach, everybody. Welcome back, post Shavuos. I had noted last week that Parshas Bamidbar is always the Parsha that we read prior to Shavuos. That's based upon Gemara, Maseches Megillah, Tosfos, and his explanation. However, that lends itself to the fact that Parshas Naso is always read the Shabbos after Shavuos. So of course, the same way that there's significance to the Parshas Bamidbar being the parsha read immediately prior to Shavuos, there must be significance as well to Parshas Naso being the parsha that's read immediately following Shavuos. I'd like to try to understand what that might be, what the correlation connection is between the Yom Tov of Shavuos and Parshas Naso, and how Parshas Naso really is the beginning, the springboard, and the commencement of the summer season, and how it is that we're able to take the inspiration of Shavuos and move with it from Shavuos, Mirtz Hashem, until the next Yom Tov, the Yom Tov of Sukkot, and of course the Yom Nerayim, which precede it. I like to use a Rashi in Parshas Naso, to try to understand what it is that lies at the core of Parshas Naso, being the Parsha read, learned, laned immediately after Shavuos. It's a very well-known Rashi, a famous Rashi. Rashi, of course, notes that there is a juxtaposition of two Parshios, two well-known passages in Parshas Naso, the Parsha of the Sota and the Parsha of the Nazir. The Sota, of course, is the wayward woman, the wife who's been suspected of an adulterous relationship, and the way that her husband tries to secure whether or not she acted with propriety or not, and he suspects her, is to bring her to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash, and she drinks the Maim HaMe'orim, these very special, unique waters. And as a result of her drinking these waters, a very, very miraculous item would occur. And that is, if she would be found to be suspect and found to be guilty, her stomach would implode. And if not, she would be found to be righteous, found to be truthful, and ultimately she would become pregnant and have a child. This is the unbelievable event of the Sota, something which was unique. Bizman, that a time when Klal Yisrael was Shrim al Admasam, the time when the Jewish people found themselves in a situation when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a relationship with the Jewish people, where we were able to see and figure out and to mete out punishment or ultimately victory. And therefore, this was a very special item that took place in the Mishkan, and this is the Sota. The Torah immediately after teaching us, telling us about the Sota, the halachas of the Sota, then at the beginning of Perek Vav, tells us about the Nazir. The Nazir, of course, is another very unique individual. The Nazir is somebody who, out of his own volition, her own volition, appreciates and understands that they want to live a life of heightened Kedusha, a life of heightened sanctity. And the Nazir, of course, has certain halachas, certain rules that are unique and are specific to the Nazir that no other Jew fulfills, even not the Kohen. And the Nazir, of course, is prohibited to cut his hair. The Nazir is prohibited to drink wine or to drink any intoxicating beverage. Not yayin, not shechar, nothing. Furthermore, the Nazir can't touch and come in contact with anything that's tameh, can't eat anything that's tameh. And therefore, the Nazir has very, very special halachos, unique halachos, a sense of kedusha, a sense of heightened spirituality. And Rashi asks the question, the famous question, Lama nismacha parshas nazir la parshas sota. Rashi regularly tries to understand what the juxtaposition is between certain parshios in the Torah. But in this context, Rashi asks, why is it that these two parshios, the parsha of nazir and the parsha of sota, are juxtaposed? Is there any significance? What is the reason for the correlation between these two unique incidents, these two unique people, the sota and the nazir? Why is it that there seems to be a correlation, a connection between the Nazir and the Sota? Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Maseches Sota, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, explains as follows. Lama nismacha parshas nazir la parshas sota? Rashi asks, why are these two parshas correlated, connected, juxtaposed, says Rashi, lomar lacha, to teach us. Shekol haroes sota bekilkula. Anybody who was eyewitness to the Sota, anybody who saw the Sota, who saw the miraculous events that occurred, who saw either that her stomach imploded or saw that she became nizbarich b'me'eha, yazir atzmo min hayayin, should ultimately abstain from drinking wine. Shuhu mevili deniyof, intoxicating beverages can bring a person to act inappropriately, can act a person to act suspectly, can act to lead to a person acting in a very, very inappropriate fashion. And therefore, Rashi explains the juxtaposition between the Nazir and the Sota, and the reason that the Nazir and the halachas of the Nazir are listed immediately after the Sota in Perek Vav, chapter 6, Parshas Nasov, Sefer Bamidbar, is to teach us that somebody who sees this, somebody who's witnessed to seeing what occurs to the Sota, seeing that she's suspect, seeing that she's been charged, and seeing what has occurred to her, should ultimately abstain from drinking wine, because seeing such an event can have such a powerful impact upon a person that it could lead to ultimately inappropriate behavior. Therefore, you should stay away from wine and become a nazir, because there is something to seeing something that is dangerous. There's something to seeing something that's inappropriate. Our surroundings have an influence on us, and therefore such an individual should become a nazir. Not everybody could become a nazir. If you want to become a nazir, you can. But here the Torah directs us and tells us that if you see the sota, that's a reason to become a nazir. Now, of course, the sight, the view, and experience of seeing what occurred to the sota was so powerful, was so incredible, was so miraculous, was so otherworldly, that it brought a person into a position that nazirus was the next step. But Mefarshei HaChumash, and almost all of the Mefarshim on Rashi, ask a very, very basic and simple question. And that is as follows. If the image of the Sota was so powerful, the miracles that occurred to the Sota and the surrounding events that took place to the Sota woman, to this wayward wife, were so beyond and were so miraculous and can lead and leave such an impact upon a person, well, why then do you have to become a Nazir? Maybe Dafka, such a person doesn't have to become a Nazir. Maybe everybody else should become a Nazir, because we should be careful, cautious, meticulous, never to be over a niyuf, and to be always be cautious and to watch ourselves and guard ourselves. But if a person actually saw the Sota, if a person saw the event surrounding the Sota and understood and appreciated what occurred, and I was eyewitness to it, five fingers, clarity I had, vision, I saw the Sota, I saw what occurred, why do I have to become a Nazir? Dafka, I shouldn't have to become a Nazir. What's the big deal? I saw the Sota. It occurred in my surrounding. I was witness to it. Therefore, I have to become a Nazir? Bumfakir, just the opposite. I shouldn't have to become a Nazir. The powerful experience of seeing the Sota should suffice and should allow me to live a life of Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim, a life of Ruchnias. Why is it Dafka, the one who sees the Sota, should ultimately take upon himself the Nazirus? So Mefarshei HaChumash explained, Sefer Or Gedaliah, Rav Gifter says this as well in his Pirkei Torah, as well as other Mefarshei HaChumash note, that the pshat is as follows. A person can see something, can be amazed by something, can be inspired by something, can be overwhelmed by something, and can be so taken by an event. But tomorrow and the next day, it could be as if it never occurred. The most powerful event, the most inspirational event that you've ever seen or been witness to. If you've been to the Siyam HaShas, anybody's been to the Siyam HaShas, walks away from there flying, walking on cloud nine. A person has any inspirational moment or anything that speaks to him or to her in such a powerful and passionate way, it can leave such an impact, but tomorrow it could be gone forever. And therefore the Torah understands and recognizes that there needs to be a way to concretize that inspiration, to concretize the miracle that occurred, that you saw, that you were witness to. And therefore, the next step is to take an action. The next step is to do something. Don't allow that inspiration to fizzle out and to melt, but allow that inspiration to be concretized, to placed into something real, to grab it, to take hold of it, and to concretize it. Therefore, it's dafka for that reason that Rashi explains, based on the Gemara Maseches Sota Daf Beis, if you saw something awesome, if you saw something miraculous, if you've been taken by something, if you're overwhelmed by something, if you're inspired by something, do something with it and don't allow that inspiration to simply fade away. And thus, that's the pshat in Rashi. says Rabbi Gedalia Shura, says Rabbi Mordechai Gifter, other Mefarshei Chumash point this out as well, that if you're zocha to an inspiration, if you've merited to see something, to be amazed by something, to be overwhelmed by something, to be inspired by something, do something with it, grab it, yazir atzma min hayayin. The truth is, in Chazal, we find this very, very significantly, and very often in a variety of different contexts, that anytime something great happens, anytime something awesome happens, grab it, seize the moment. And there's a reason for it, because if you go back to Sefer Shmos, following Kriyas Yamsuf, following all of the incredible events of the Makos, following Makos Bechoros, following Klal Yisrael being taken out, Al Kanfei Nesharim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'atzmo, redeemed us from Egypt. It was the most miraculous event that had ever occurred. It's the greatest event that ever occurred in our history. We saw it, we witnessed it. And then we crossed the sea. And Chazal say, Roshivcha layam ashalai roi Yecheskel ben Buzi, that the basic, simple Jew saw something at Kriyas Yamsuf that even the greatest prophets never saw, not even Yecheskel. Unbelievable, amazing. Kriyas Yamsuf, could you imagine being privy to Kriyas Yamsuf? If we would see such a thing, we would never, ever sin. We would never do something wrong. We would be passionate Jews forever and forever. But what occurred, Parshas B'Shalach, 3 days later, immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayihi Ha'am Kimis Onanim, we kvetch, we complain. Where is the food that we ate in Egypt? We're dehydrated, we're thirsty, we're hungry, we miss our beds. Kriyas Yamsuf! Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makos Bechoros, Neseres HaMakos. Are you kidding me? Thus we see dafka. Anytime there's a sense of inspiration, anytime something amazing happens, it could burst. And the way to not allow it to implode is to concretize it with something. We were on our way to Matan Torah, but it wasn't close enough. We needed to do something with that inspiration. So it's dafka, the person who sees the soto, there's such passion, there's such inspiration, it could go either way. Don't allow it to overwhelm you, but allow it to inspire you and do something with it, because we see from human nature, in psyche, it's a fact, it's a psychological fact. It's a human nature, it's who we are as individuals, as people. We see something, we're amazed by it, but it doesn't continue. And the way to allow for continuity and to guarantee that there's going to be success and to allow it to ultimately propel us to the next level is to grab the moment, to seize the moment, and to do something with it. And therefore, that's the reason, again, that the Nezirus follows the Sota, because based upon what we saw in our history, Klal Yisrael is unable to grab and to seize the moment if you don't do something with it. I'll share with you some other fascinating points where we see that this occurs. You know, Simchas Torah, for example, we finish Parshas Zosa Brach, we finish Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It's unbelievable. It's inspiring. It's uplifting. It's overwhelming. We finish this Chasan Torah. We sing, we dance. Unbelievable, amazing. But what do we do immediately after we finish Sefer Dvarim? Zosa Brach, the first thing that we do, write the Sefer Bereishis. Don't stop. Immediately. Bereishis, Baruch, Kimas Hashem, Ames Haaretz. And we also sing and we make that exciting and overwhelming and uplifting, because if something incredible happens, if you finish something, you got to start something right away. You got to begin. A siyum, the simcha of finishing something, is the ability that you're going to start again. Often we focus, we think that the simcha of a siyum is that you completed something. That's not the simcha. The simcha is you completed something, and now you're going to go right back to start again. That's why every mesechta starts on daf beis, because there really is no end and there is no beginning. You go right to it. And thus, after Vizosa Bracha, we continue and we go right to Bereishis. And after the Haftarah that we read, what's the Haftarah? Yoshua Perek Aleph. Because the Haftarah is coming to teach us that, no, we're not stopping with Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going right and we're going to continue into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to read Sefer Yoshua. Chazak ve'amatz, as Yoshua says over and over again throughout Perek Aleph. And Chizuk is when you start again, you grab something, you do it right away. And that's the goal. Immediately after finishing something is completing it, is beginning again. There are three steps to tshuva. We know the Rambam identifies that there's charata, there's regret, there's aziva sachet, there's leaving the sin, and then there's a third step. It's called kabbalah lahaba. I accept upon myself to do something in the future. It's not enough just to regret. It's not just to leave the sin. But dafka, it's Kabbalah lahab, it's doing something in the future, it's concretizing it, grabbing it, making a Kabbalah, that's the most important. And thus, the Rambam, in Mefarshei Rambam, explaining Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, the most important of the three steps of tshuva, it's not charat, it's not aziva sachet, but it's kabbalah lehaba. When you grab something, you have to grab the moment, seize the moment, do something with the inspiration, rezocha to do tshuva. You said you're going to leave the sin. You regretted what you've done. Go do something with it. Grab the moment, seize the moment, kabbalah lehaba. Shulchan Aruch tells us, following Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we're so inspired. We're so uplifted. We're such a high after Ne'ilah, Hashem Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's the first thing that we do? Immediately after Yom Kippur, the Ramah says, we go build a sukkah. Right away, that's the minute we go build a sukkah because we want to do something with our hands. We want to act. We want to do something. Miyad, says the Ramah, Achakach bonim lahaschil ha-sukkah. We begin to start with the mitzvah. We want to do something right away. We're ready, we're prepared. And thus, we go from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. We don't allow the inspiration of Yom Kippur to fizzle away, to melt, and to dry up. And therefore, the next thing that we do immediately is to build the sukkah. Motzei Shabbos, after Shabbos Kodesh, Kedusha Shabbos, we have a Neshama Yisera. And we've been so inspired. And it's been such a great, incredible 25 hours. You're living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. The first thing that we do, of course, is we make Havdalah. And part of Havdalah is Besamim. And the Besamim is there because we lost our Neshama Yisera. And we need a boost. We need something right away. So we make the bracha, baruch atah Hashem, ken mechalam, bari mina besamim, to grab the moment, to seize the moment, and not to allow Kedusha Shabbos just to run away. But we make brachas, we make Havdalah, and we're clear, we're certain, and we concretize the moment. And thus we see that Chazal understood the psyche, the nature of a human being, is to fall and is to crumble, and is to melt after something great and incredible happens. Don't allow the Kriyas Yamsuf syndrome to creep into our lives. And therefore, immediately after seeing a sota, after seeing the unbelievable miracle of a sota, and seeing what occurred in the surroundings, it's dafka such a person who needs to create some level of consistency and to concretize that event. And the miracle and the way to do so is by becoming a Nazir. Thus, we see the beginning of Parshas Sota, and the juxtaposition of the Nazir to the Sota is for this very reason. But if you take a look, actually, at the end of the chapter of Nazirus, the end of Perek Vav, on page 762, there's a very similar notion. After the Nazirus, because the Torah tells us that a Nazir has to bring a korban when he or she completes their Nazirus, because really we understand, we know, we appreciate that Nazir is not the way ultimately to live long term, even though some person could become a Nazir forever. But the fact that a Korban is brought, Chazal teach us that it's not the way to live. It's not the way that we want a person to live their life. And then the Torah tells us that after the conclusion of the Nazirus, the Nazir brings a Korban. And the Torah tells us four words as to what takes place after the Nazirus. Va'achar yishte ha-Nazir yayin. Those four words the Torah tells us, page 762, Pasuk Chaf, the last four words, after the Nazir will drink wine. So the significance of the Nazirus, now that it's complete, is now the Nazir can drink wine. Va'achar yishte ha-Nazir yayin. Now he has a heter, he has a license to drink wine. Why is the Torah focusing on that? That he can now drink wine? Is that so important? Is that so significant? After his Nazirus, he's going to drink wine? He's just abstained from wine. He saw the sota. And the Torah tells us he concretized it. He did what he was supposed to do. So now all of a sudden, the first thing he does, v'achar yishtah nazir yayin, v'achar yishtah, v'achar hanazir holich lebeis medrash, lebeis haknesses, he should do something. What does it mean he's drinking wine? Question number one. Question number two. He's no longer a Nazir. This person is not a Nazir anymore. So why does the Torah coin this person as a Nazir? V'achar yishteh ha-Nazir yayin. Why is it telling us and calling this person a Nazir? He's no longer a Nazir. He's drinking wine. His Nazirus is finished. It's a stira. It's a contradiction. Are you a Nazir and you could drink wine? The Torah just told us that one of the basic elements in halachas for a Nazir is that a Nazir is prohibited from drinking wine. So why then does the Torah refer to the person who has completed his Nazirus, who already brought a korban and is done with his Nazirus, and call him a Nazir and he's drinking wine. He shouldn't be called a Nazir anymore. And now he could drink wine. But why is the Torah referring to this person as a Nazir? These are the two questions. These two questions are raised by two great Hasidic Rebbes, the Sagitchover Rebbe, the Eglital, and the Sefer Neozdesha, as well as by the Alshech. Alshech wasn't a Hasidic Rebbe, but the Alshech is a very classic, almost Kabbalistic Sefer, the Sefer Taurus Moshe. The Alshech and the Neozdesha, both of them address these questions, and they say the following thing, almost identical ideas. And that is that the goal of the Naziros, period, is not the Naziros. The goal of becoming a Nazir is not that I don't drink wine and sheikhan and intoxicating beverages. I don't need anything that emerges from wine. I grow my hair long. That's not the goal. That's not the ends in and of itself. Do you know what the goal of the Naziris is? It's after you're a Nazir. It's when you complete your Naziris. It's when you re-enter the world. And now you drink wine. How will you drink wine? How will you behave? How will you act? Did the period of Naziris have an impact on you? Did it have an effect on you? Did it have long-term goals? Did it have long-lasting impression on you? Now that you didn't drink wine and didn't drink beer and didn't drink any intoxicating beverage, now that you weren't mitame, now that you never did any of the things that you were supposed to do during the Naziris period, now what happens when you go back to work? What happens when you re-enter the world? Are you going to be able to take that experience with you? Are you going to concretize the Naziris and bring it back? Just like when you saw the Sota, the way to concretize that event was by making yourself a Nazir. So to making yourself a Nazir, the goal, the concretization of that is how you behave after the Naziris. It's what you do when you hang up your cleats of being a Nazir. It's after the Korban. If you drink your wine after the Naziris properly, appropriately, if you uplift this world and you act in a way that is appropriate while drinking wine, you're still a Nazir. You still have the halachic level of being a Nazir. And thus explains the Neozdesh and the Alshech, V'achar yishta ha-Nazir yayin. Never before up until this point were Nazir and yayin synonyms. Nazir and yayin are antonyms. But achar yishta ha-Nazir yayin, after his Naziris, if he drinks wine and he drinks it properly, appropriately, and he uses the wine for Kiddush and Havdalah, he uses the wine for mitzvos and for brachos. And if the Nazir is able to do that, then his Naziris continues. His experience of a Nazir never stops, never leaves. And thus, yishteh ha-Nazir yayin, do drink wine. Because the Torah wants to see and the Kodesh Baruch wants to test. Did your Naziris have long-lasting effects? Did it impress upon you the importance of living in this world as a Jew? And the way to live in this world as a Jew is not by abstaining from wine, is not by abstaining from shechar, is not by abstaining from intoxicating beverages, is not by holding back and growing your hair long. You should cut your hair. You should look nice. You should drink wine. But how do you do it? You do it in a holy way, and you drink the wine properly. You uplift the seuda. You uplift the moments in the world that you live in, because the goal of the Jew is not abstaining and is not removing oneself from the world. It's not that physicality and spirituality are antonyms, but rather physicality and spirituality are synonyms and they work together. With a proper approach to the physical world, to the world of Olam Hazeh, and a person can use this world to uplift it to a different level. And thus, that's why the Sota comes first, followed by the Nazir. And then after the Nazir comes the Achar Yishteh HaNazir Yayin. After that, the Nazir drinks wine. He reemerges, he re-enters the world, and he enjoys the world that he lives in. And thus, we're beginning to sniff and smell and appreciate, understand why Dafka after Shavuos comes Parshas Nasa. The inspiration of Kabbalah Satara, the inspiration of a Yom Tov of Shavuos has to be concretized. It needs to be hold tight of Shavuos, hold tight to the Torah. Don't allow Matan Torah, the experience of Matan Torah, to fizzle away. The Torah tells us in Parshas Veschanan that at Matan Torah there was a Kol Hashem Lo Yosaf. There was a loud sound that never, ever fizzled away. Today we hear that bas kol. It continues till today when you learn Torah. Kol Yom, says the Mishnah, bas kol yotzis mehar chorev, omer oy lo lelbonu shel Torah. Every single day we should be hearing that bas kol. We should be holding on to it. We should be concretizing the events, the moments of Matan Torah and Har Sinai. And therefore it's dafka now that we re-enter, and through the vision of the Sot and the Nazir, the juxtaposition of it, concretizing that which you saw by becoming a Nazir. And after your Nazirus, you're concretizing your Nazirus by drinking wine and living a holy life in a physical world that we live in. That's the goal of a Yom Tov, and that's the goal of Shavuos, is to be able to continue, to move forward, and to grab the moment. And it's dafka after Matan Torah, after the Kedusha, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that for 3 days, al tikshu el aisha, separate yourselves from your wives. The Torah then tells us immediately after Matan Torah, shuvu lachem lo halechem. Go back to living your lives the way you did before. Go back to the physical world. Go back to a physical life. And see how you can live. The Talmud Rebbe explains that that is the whole yisod of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, is to be able to re-emerge, to re-enter the world. And that's why Shavuos is only one day, as opposed to Pesach and Sukkot, which is 7 days and 8 days. We sort of find ourselves in a bubble, in a whole different universe, in a whole different atmosphere. And it's hard to re-emerge because Sukkot and Pesach are completely different. So why is it that Shavuos is only one day? Because we don't want that experience to be held up for such a long time. Grab Shavuos and bring it back. Take it with you into the world. It's part of the life that we live. That's what the Torah is. Kol arotz alito yavo v'yitol. Everybody could grab the Torah. The Melech has a crown, and it's for the Melech, and that's Malchus Beis Yehuda. The Kohen is unique to the Kahuna, and only a Kohen and his sons are able to be Kohanim. Nobody else can be a Kohen or a Melech. But the Torah is for everybody. And therefore, Shuvu Lachem L'Aleichem says, go back to your homes and live a physical life. Go back after Shavuos and re-enter and re-emerge and concretize everything that you have gotten out of the Matan Torah experience. And therefore, we don't want to leave, and we don't want to find ourselves in another world, Kaviyachol, for 7 days or 8 days like we do Pesach and Sukkot. But dafka, when it comes to Shavuos, it's short-lived. It's quick, because we're grabbing that time. We're grabbing that moment, just like the Nazir did, and just like the Nazir will after. So too we, post-Shavuos, after the Yom Tov Shavuos, were able to grab Kedushas HaYom Tov and Kedushas Yisrael Bahazmanim to take it to the next level. It's amazing. There's a Chidushi Harim. The first Gera Rebbe explains that the most Medrash and the most Zohar that we find in any Parsha is in Parshas Nasa. There's an incredible amount of Medrashim, an incredible amount in the Zohar in Parshas Nasa. And the Chidushi Arim explains, do you know why? Because if Nasa is the Parsha that comes immediately after Shavuos. And therefore, do you know what the Tanoim and Amoraim did? They wrote, and they wrote, and they wrote more than they did in any other place, because they grabbed the Kedusha of Shavuos and they concretized it in the next Parsha, in Parshas Naso, and they began to understand it, to explain it, to re-explain it, to teach for posterity and for generations. And therefore, of any Parsha, Chamisha Chum Shetar, of all 54 Parshios, the Parsha that has the most amount of Medrash, the most amount of Chazal, the most amount of Zohar, is Dafka Parshas Naso. And don't think, he writes, that the reason for that is because Parshas Nasa is the longest Parsha in the Torah. Because the truth is, the end of Parshas Nasa is all about the Nesiim, which we'll talk about in a moment. And there, dafka, there's not so much in the Medrash. The Torah goes on over and over and over again, telling us what each of the Nesiim brought. B'yom hakrivos korbanchem, and the day that they brought their korbanos, when the Mishkan was being inaugurated. So therefore, it's true that Parshas Nasa is the longest Parsha. But nonetheless, those psukim, and those 89 psukim in the parak, in the end of Parshas Naso, really speak to one point. but they're not speaking on the Medrash there. Thus, the Torah is coming to teach us, and Chazal is coming to teach us. Another critical nature of Parshas Naso, that the Tanoim understood this, the Amoraim understood this, and therefore that's the reason that the most amount of Torah, in Torah Shebaal Peh, of any Chamisha Chumshei Torah, any Parshan Chamisha Chumshei Torah, can be found in Parshas Naso. The Ramban has a similar notion, and the Ramban, which is quoted by the Kedushas Alevi, Kedushas Levi, Rebbe Yitzchak Meditchev, and Shavuos, quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im Ta'iru Im Ta'oru Ad Shetachpotz. What does that Pasuk mean? Im Ta'iru Im Ta'oru Ad Shetachpotz. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, says in his commentary to Shir HaShirim, Im Ta'iru Im Ta'oru. Ta'iru means if you have an inspiration, if you have a hisorus, Ta'iru and Ta'oru, what do you do with it? How should you grab it? What should you do with that unbelievable amount of inspiration that you have? Achetachfos, make it into a chefetz, concretize it. A chefetz is something you could hold, is something tangible, is something real. With the Ta'iru and with the Ta'oru, achetachfos, grab it. Hold on to it and hold fast to it. Don't allow it to fizzle away and to melt. But make sure that when there's a hisorus in ta'iru and ta'oru, achetachbots, make sure that you're able to hold on to it. It's the reason, by the way, that many of the minug, post-shavuos, many shuls, our shul has the minug, that for 7 days following shuos is no tachana. Different minhagim exist, but one of the reasons for that is because we want to grab hold of the kedusha of shuos and take it with us and be able not to allow the yomtiv to go away. We re-enter the world, but at the same time, there is no tachana. Because we want to be able not to allow the Kedusha of Yom Tov just to run away, to fizzle away. And therefore, this is the reason I believe why Parshas Naso is the Dafka, the Parsha that's read immediately after Shavuos. Because this is what the Sota teaches us, this is what the Nazir teaches us, this is the juxtaposition between the Nazir and the Sota, and how a Dafka after the Naziris is when the Nazir is really tested. V'achar yishte ha-Nazir yayin. Shuvu lachem lo aleichem, return to the world, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, says Moshe to Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah. Go back, you've separated from your wives, but now re-enter, go back. Just like the Nazir has to go back to this world, just like the Nazir can't live separate and ascetic and abstain from this world, he re-enters the world. So to all of Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah did the same thing, Shuvu lachem lo aleichem, and so too do we. Post-Shuos, we re-enter, we re-emerge, not after 7 days, not after 8 days, but dafka after 1 day, to concretize, to hold on, and to make the events a reality, im ta'iru, im ta'oru, ad shetachbos. But I believe that there are more hints to this in Parshas Naso as well. If you take a look and continue, the Parsha immediately following the Nazir is Birchas Kohanim, page 762, Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor, Pasuk Chav Gimel 23, Daber El Aaron Velbanav Lemor, Kol Sivarchos Bnei Yisrael Emor Lehem. This is what the sons of Aaron, this is how Kohanim should bless the people. The famous words of Birchas Kohanim, which also, of course, even in Chutz La'aretz, we merited to the Birchas Kohanim. Yivarechacha Hashem Vishmarecha, Yoyer Hashem Panavelecha Vichuneka, Yisa Shempanav Elechav Yasim Lechav Shalom, three psukim, three sets of brachos. What do these brachos mean? What are we being blessed with when we're zoch and we merit Birchas Kohanim? So let's learn Rashi together. And Rashi explains the Birchas Kohanim, I believe, in a way that we could explain similar to the Nazir and to the Sota. There's something very unique about the brachos that the Kohanim give us. Yivarechach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you to bless us. We're asking you to bless us with what? So Rashi fills us in based upon the Sifri, the Medrash Tanchuma. We want blessings of physicality. We want Olam Haza, Shizbaruchu Nechasecha, says Rashi. Give us bounty, give us blessing, give us physical strength, give us physical needs that we have, the agriculture, the finances that we need. Yivarech Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give it to us. But then the last word in the first set is V'yishmerecha. What does V'yishmerecha mean? Says Rashi, Shlo yavo alecha shodrim mitom amoncha. We don't want anybody to steal the blessings that we receive. When we've received bracha, when we've received wealth, when we've received bounty, don't forget to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu also to protect the wealth, to protect the bounty. Says Rashi, Shanosi matana lavad, if you give a gift to your Eved,
Einu yachal l'shama mikol adam. He can't protect it from everybody. The cave and shubayim listim olav, if robbers will come and snatch it, the notlin osim enu mahana yesh lo b'matanazu. What gift is appreciated if it's stolen? That's not a present anymore. You can't appreciate it. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanosin hu hashomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives and protects it. Thus, again, you see, when you receive something, even a bracha, it needs to be concretized. It needs to be wrapped up, held onto, and guarded. Yivarechach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've blessed us with bounty, with goodness, with physicality. V'yishmerech HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will also protect it. I won't allow the stock market to crash. I will give you everything that you need, and you'll have the wealth that you've saved for such a long time. It will be protected. Appreciate the bracha that you have. It's not enough just to receive something. But when you receive something from me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will protect it. V'yishmerech shmira shamor. And then the second bracha, a very similar theme. Yo'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chunecha. Yo'er Hashem panav eilecha, says Rashi, yir lecha panim sochakas, panim tzuhuvos. I will make you have very pleasant countenance, a face that smiles, a face that's happy, and you will be in great delight. You will be joyous. That's what means Yoher Hashem Panav Elecha, God's Kaviyachol face will face us. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu's face faces us and it illuminates, his countenance is illuminating upon us, that means that we too will have a very similar look. But Yor Hashem Panav Elecha doesn't stop there, because what's the last piece of the bracha? Vichuneka. And says Rashi, Vichuneka means Yitain Lecha Chein. That although we've been blessed with God's countenance, we don't want to allow that to become arrogant. We don't want that to be the source of kin of jealousy. Please, God, after you found favor on our eyes and you've blessed us with this great countenance, with this Panav Elecha, Vichuneka, make sure that people will still love us. Make sure people will find favor in our eyes, that there won't be jealousy. There won't be any level of discord bein adam lechavero now that we've received this bracha of Yoy Hashem Panav Elecha. Concretize it. Hold on to it. Safeguard it. Vichuneka. Yitein lecha chein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow that we should find favor in the eyes of others and others should find favor in our eyes. Thus again, with every bracha comes this shmira v'yishmerecha, v'chuneka. And finally, in the last stanza of this bracha, you see the very same thing. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now that you've given us this bracha, v'yasem lecha shalom. Shalom means shlemus, means peace. Concretizing all of the brachas of physicality and spirituality that we've received in the Birchas Kohanim. Yasim lecha shalom, that there should be peace bein gashmias and bein ruchnias. It should stay together and should become concretized. Thus, just as the nazir concretizes the sota experience, and just as the post naziros concretizes the naziros experience, so too the birchas kohanim in each bracha also has to be concretized. That is why each bracha yivarechach Hashem v'yishmerecha, yor Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasim lecha shalom. Every event, every blessing, every bracha, every experience, every moment, every inspiration needs to be concretized, needs to be grabbed, hold up. It needs to have a chefetz ad sheyachpotz. And therefore, that's what Birchas Kohanim has to offer. And Parshas Naso then concludes with chapter 7, Perek Zayin. And for 89 psukim, pei tes psukim, the Torah records the offering of each of the chiefs of the tribes, each of the tribal leaders. And 89 psukim long, pei tes psukim, and it's repeated over again. Each of the 12 tribes brought the same exact korban, the same weight, the same piece of silver, the same exact animal. And therefore, the raises the question, asks the Ramban, why does the Torah, which is so succinct and so careful with every word, repeat over and over again the very same korban? Take a look, Perek Zayin, starting on page 764, 766, 768, 780, 70, 772, 89 psukim, peitas psukim, recording each of the 12 tribes from the first day until the 12th day. B'yom Shneima Sayom, the final chief. Nasi Levin and Naftali Achira ben Enot. So we go from day one and tribe number one and chief number one on day number one. Nachshon min Minadav L'Shevet Yehuda's day one. And then we conclude on day 12, Nasil Rein Aftal Achir Ben Einan, and they bring the same exact korban every single day. Asks the Ramban, why does the Tarfta tell us each and every single prat and detail of the korban and the weight and which korban was brought, how it was brought, when it was brought? Just say very quickly, for the first 12 days from the time that they dedicated the Mishkan until day number 12, the chiefs brought the following korbanos, each and every single one of them. You could say that in 3 psukim or 4 psukim or 5 psukim. But why day 1 exactly the same as day 2 and day 2 as 3 and 3 and 4 and 4 and 5, all the way to day 12 is identical and is similar? Says the Ramban to teach us that each chief, when he brought his korban, brought it of his own volition, of his own strength, of his own conviction, with his own insight into the korban. He brought his own neshama, his own guf, his own lev into the korban. Although we're each doing something identical, it's being brought with a particular passion that belongs to me. And thus Naso concludes with the Parashas Nesim to teach us that if you want the Kedusha, and you want the inspiration of Shavuos to last, even though we're going to do the same thing every single day from here on in, starting in the Chodesh Sivan and Tammuz and Av and Elul until we get to Tishrei, when the new inspiration begins, the way to go from Pesach to Shavuos and Shavuos to Sukkot is by appreciating, just like the Nesim did. Although we are doing the same thing, and although we're identical with the same 3 Shachris, Mincha, and Maarevs every day, and exactly what I did yesterday, I'll do today, what I'll do today, I'll do tomorrow. But in that, there is incredible depth. And in that, there's great insight. And to my Shachris will be different than it was yesterday, and Mincha today will be different than Mincha tomorrow. And the same thing is true with Maarev. And my Avodas Hashem today is different than my Avodas Hashem tomorrow, although it's identical. And it's the same. But I concretize it the same way that the Nazir did, the same way that we see that in Birchas Kohanim, and the same that we see that we re-enter you post Shavuos. Parshas Naso is the lens to allow us to be inspired forever and to allow us to grab the moment that we had and not allow it to fizzle out, not allow it to melt, and not allow it to evaporate, but dafka to grab the moment, to concretize it, and to do something with it. That's the Yesod of Shavuos. That's the Yesod of Parshas Naso, and that's the reason we lay in Parshas Naso dafka after Shavuos, to allow us to understand and to appreciate and to inculcate and to concretize the same way that the Nazir did during, post, and the same that we saw that throughout the entire Parsha. That's what Bezos Hashem will be zocha to do, to take advantage in Ta'iru, in Ta'oruru, at Shetachbots. Wishing everybody a wonderful week and success as we move into the summer months ahead, Bezos Hashem. A good tovach to everybody.